This is the intro jingle. This is the K-pop Devok Show with Eric Nam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, family of the K-pop Devok Show, we have a guest here today. I'm excited to talk to this guy. He is an incredibly talented musician, singer, songwriter, artiste. It is Neve. What's up, Neve? How are you?
What's up? I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely excited to have you here. So before we jump into our discussion, we should probably throw it out there. Like, I thought this was my first time actually meeting you. Uh-huh. But right before we started shooting, could you fill our listeners in? Like, have we met before?
We haven't met like physically before, but then the first time we talked was online. I think it was, almost like 6-7 years ago. When you reached out to me through Facebook Messenger, saying that you guys were looking for outstanding applicants for Widaehan Tansaeng. And I remember you were introducing yourself like that you're from Widaehan Tansaeng. And then I remember looking it up. And that was our first time talking.
That's
and I remember
crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe that we're, you know, talking after 7 years, 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's like crazy and kind of embarrassing because I wish I had fully remembered that. But I'm sorry I did not remember
That's okay.
See, I thought the first time… I don't know if I actually met you or something. Mm. But I remember I was like talking to a label… And they were saying they were talking to you as well. And I think we had like passed by each other. And I think we might have just said hi. I don't know. But I remember your name specifically coming up. And I was like, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Brian. Because you were on a TV show. Weren't you on an audition program?
Yeah. I was introduced as Brian Park.
Okay. Right. So I remembered you as Brian Park. And that was like the first time I was like, oh, okay. And then it's been, I don't know how many years since it has been, but we're finally connecting. I'm really excited to finally connect with you and talk to you.
Me too.
I'm sorry, I didn't remember that. But full context to our audience. So what Brian is talking about is I was on this program, this audition program called Birth of a Star, Widaehan Tansaeng. And that was what got me into my career. And by the time I was done with my season, the writers and the producers asked me to help scout people for the third season. And I guess I had reached out to you at that point to try to see if you were interested. And why didn't you come on our show?
Well, my excuse, which was actually true, that was my very first year at college. So it was like my first year at college and I felt… that at least, you know, I had to fulfill 1 year of requirement, you know, of going to college. You know, I was just admitted and registered to the list.
Right.
So I remember telling you like, please excuse me. I wanted to. But it's just I really wanted to. It's just that like it was my first year at college. So
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. But honestly… doesn't matter because it got you here anyways. It's fate. It's destiny. You're destined to meet. And you took a different path, but you're here. I have to briefly go ahead and say that I think I have a great eye and ear for talent then. You know, if I reached out to you and you've been writing with all these superstars. Because the only other person I think that I reached out to and I was pursuing for that show was PH1. Mm. And… he got in as well. We even shot a special at his house in New Jersey. And then he said last minute, he goes, I'm not going to come. And I was like, what?
But what? Why? No.
I think at the time, he was just nervous about… I remember. He wanted to do like hip hop. And Widaehan Tansaeng was more of like a vocalist singer kind of thing.
Right.
And so he didn't feel like it was right. But… I was 2 for 2. I had you and I had PH1 and both of y'all are doing well. So I feel very, very, I feel like I have a good eye, a good ear.
Good eye, you have a good eye and good ear.
But dude, anyways, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming to Dive Studios. I'm excited to have you on the podcast. How have you been? What have you been up to?
Just, you know, I've been the same, you know, since 6-7 years ago, you know. I mm-hmm. think it was my very first time trying to produce songs. So I've been writing and producing mm-hmm. and I debuted as a singer not too long ago. And, you know, since like 6 years ago, I've been just writing my thoughts out. And the only thing that's different these days is that there are people around me who want to support what I do. There are mm-hmm. more people who are encouraging me to do, you know, keep continuing, continue to write and produce music and sing in mm-hmm. front of people. So I think that's the only difference. But I've been the same. Yeah.
I mean, that's great. I mean, let's go through it real quick. I mean, you've written for so many and you've written with so many amazing people. Can you give us like a quick rundown? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know, but you don't have to be humble here. I want you to show off. Who are some of the people that you've written with, that you've written for, that you've had the pleasure of working with?
Well, I mean…
all right, if you feel uncomfortable, I could do it for you. It's literally everybody in K-pop who's important, guys. So EXO, Gravity, Jung Seung, Hyun. Also recently, your latest single has Haze on it. Mm-hmm. I know you've worked with Sam Kim. So you've worked with a ton of people. So you're an incredibly, I guess, accomplished writer, producer in your own right. But were you always into music? Was that part of you growing up? Like, how did you get into music?
Well, music was always with me since I was very young. But then I mm-hmm. think I was 20 or 19 when I thought that maybe I want to sing in front of people. When I was younger, I didn't know that I would become a singer mm-hmm. or artist who, you know, who's giving his inspiration to the others, just because I thought I wasn't as talented as people who were already professional enough to, you know, pursue mm-hmm. their dream and goal. And their career as, you know, professional singers. And
yeah.
I thought I wasn't really good enough. You know, I had my moments where I was like, well, seeing myself from third person's point of view, it's just that I don't know if I'm like standing out in any ways. You know, I was mm-hmm. pretty good, but I didn't think that I was excellent. Mm-hmm. And that's why I kind of stopped thinking of pursuing a goal as an artist. Uh-huh. But more and more time flew, there have been people who kind of recognized what I could do in the future than what I was, where I was at the present moment. Mm-hmm. So I think it was 21 that I finally realized that maybe I want to do this. Mm-hmm. So, ready or not, here I go and see what the world thinks of me.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, my first step was Superstar K. And in a blink of an eye, I was on TV. And I still can't believe that I was on TV. And since then, I think a lot of doors opened up for me. And mm-hmm. here I am. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. But you know what? Like, I feel like most people have that. Like, most people have this sense of like, am I good enough? Am I special enough? Mm. Like, there's this sense of imposter syndrome where, like, I've talked about this on the show before where, like, even recently I was at an event and it's like all these celebrities, like, why am I here? Like, how did I feel like I lied my way into this place because I'm not good enough to be here. But, like, that's kind of, I feel like that's everybody. Like, we all go through that. And then as you develop your skills that, you come into your own, and it's really cool to see that you've developed this confidence into becoming an artist and a singer-songwriter on your own. So that's really, really cool. Because like you said, even though I felt like we had never really met or connected, like I was always checking out your music. I think I've gotten a couple demos from you as well. So you've always been
oh, really?
In the periphery. Yeah. You've like always been in the periphery of my eye. Just like I was, oh, okay, like Neve, Brian Park, he's always like doing something. Cool, cool, cool. Maybe one day we'll get to link up, and we finally are. So
yeah,
I'm really excited about that. But I guess like we should also talk about like, were you know, growing up, were you born in the States? Were you born in Korea? How did you grow up?
I was born in Korea and went to elementary school and first year of middle school in Korea. Then I moved to Australia. I used to live there for a couple of years, and then I moved to New Jersey due to my dad's work. And I went to high school in New Jersey, and then I went to New York for college.
Okay.
So it's been kind of like nomad lifestyle that I've been having. And I've been like here and there. So half of my life in Korea and half of my life in, more than half of my life in the States. Yeah.
I feel like for a lot of people who have lived like that, it's kind of hard to pinpoint and say, this is home or this is what I call home.
Mm.
Do you happen to have a place that feels that way to you?
I used to be in the state where I, my upstate, where I thought that, where do I belong? You know, mm-hmm. wherever I go, it doesn't feel like…
Right.
Like, right in my heart, you know? Like, mm-hmm. and whichever group, like group of people, like friends that I hung out with, I just felt like I didn't belong in anywhere. Even though like the others might not think that. It was just my problem that I had always.
Yeah.
It's only been recent that I finally figured out that wherever I go, if I feel, if I find my peace in my heart and you know, through music, you know, wherever I go, if I can really humbly and happily pursue music, it's my home. So it could be on the street, it could be in Korea, it could be, you know, anywhere else. Wherever I have music with me, it's my home. I think I defined that very recently.
Oh, so,
yeah. If that
I mean, no, absolutely. That completely makes sense. I mean, for me too, like I felt like there was a certain point in my mid-20s when I realized that for like 8 years or so, I had never been in one place for longer than like a few months at a time. So I was always living out of suitcases, living in like temporary situations. So my heart was never at peace. I was always like moving. And then I always had an identity thing with like, am I Korean? Am I Korean American? Am I American? Like it's this weird middle place that we live in because we're so multicultural and we've moved around so much. And so I completely understand what you mean. In that sense. But growing up, you know, you said music has always been a big part of your life. Were your parents always supportive of you pursuing music and singing or producing or writing?
They were supportive in every way. You know, I think my parents were the reason why I'm here and why I'm, you know, still doing it. Because not even like if I said that I'm gonna pursue my dream as, you know, not musician, but something else, they would still support me. So they were very open to my decisions, even though it seemed reckless at a time. For example, you know, applying for a leave of absence after going to college for a year. Because my college, it was conservatory school. So I majored in classical clarinet. And in 2012, they only picked one person. And then they, you know, I was on the wait list.
So you were
list.
The only one?
Luckily. I was lucky enough. I was on the wait list. You know, I got on the last train. But then happened to be me. And then because I was the only clarinetist that was, who was selected the time, it was kind of critical for me to leave. If I left the school, it would have been pretty problematic. So I had all these pressures, and my parents also thought that maybe you should at least, you know, go for college for at least 2 years. And then I'm saying that after going there for a year, I'm like, I want to experience like different things musically.
Yeah.
I think if I pass this time and opportunity, I'm going to be a little too late to pursue later in the life. So, and then they were, you know, very supportive with it. And it's been these kind of supports that I've been getting from my parents that yeah. made me feel like I found my peace in my heart because they supported my decisions. So
I mean, that's great. That's really great. And you know what? Let's be very honest. You probably saved a lot of money as well.
So I was thinking the same thing. Actually, that was my one of so many points that I told my parents. I'm like, hey, this is conservatory school. It's going to cost a lot of money for us. You know, it's and my scholarship wasn't that too high, you know.
So, it's expensive, bro. It's like, absolutely. Expensive.
Yeah.
Look, I went
buy,
through
they
4 years.
They didn't buy.
You know what? I'm glad it happened. I went through 4 years of college, and then at that point, your parents were like, wait, you went through college and now you're not gonna do this? And it's a completely different discussion. It was like, you made us waste money. And so, you know what? If you knew this is what you wanted to do and you wanted to try, I'm really glad that you tried it and you are where you are today. So I guess let's talk a little bit about, you know, your musical journey once you got out to Korea. You did Superstar K, you were doing all these things and you were writing. When did it start to feel like you started to get recognized or felt more comfortable in your place as a musician, as a producer, as a writer? Mm. In Korean, I guess like 언제부터 약간 자리 잡기 시작하는 느낌?
Mm-mm-mm.
Or 첫 그 입질? When right. did you start feeling that?
2019 April 1st.
Wow, that's very specific.
Yeah. Because that was the day when EXO Chen's Beautiful Goodbye came out. Mm. And that was my very first song that I debuted with as a writer.
So wow.
Somebody took the song and then sang it. That was my very first time. And mm-hmm. I felt like finally I am on the start line of doing, you know, something professionally. Mm-hmm. When I mm-hmm. felt like, oh, rather than me being recognized, I just needed that confidence in my heart that I could do this and, you know, people could, you know, relate to my ideas. Because mm-hmm. before that, I was in a place where I was very worried because I love writing. I love producing, but then at some point I thought that I should be doing it professionally to really continue with it because mm-hmm. if people cannot relate to what I do, I felt like I would lose confidence and keep on going. But then at that mm-hmm. time SM contacted our company saying that they liked the song mm-hmm. and then Chen himself later told me that he really liked the song. So the song wasn't supposed to be a title of the album in the initial phase. And then, then I remember him telling me that he specifically mentioned The Beautiful Goodbye that it should be the title because he could relate to it. And that was a huge moment for me where I thought, I can do this. You know, people can relate to this. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, that's, 2019, April 1st was the time that I thought, yeah, I could do this.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, for a lot of artists, that debut, the day of debut is like the most memorable. And because I guess you started as a singer, songwriter, or as a producer, songwriter, that's going to be your most memorable day. Were you very involved in working with Chen in the recording process? Or was it kind of one of those where you wrote it and you send it off and they take it and they do it on their own, they send it back?
Second one, just because I was in LA
and then
he was recording in Korea and I couldn't, you know, fly to Korea just to record him. If I could have done it, I could have, but I would have.
What was that first feeling when you first heard his version of your song? How did you feel?
I remember specifically that night. It was nighttime when I first got the demo of him mm-hmm. singing the first recording version. And then I remember I was standing in a recording room and I was like…
just clapping.
I was just like… I was just like… keeping like this for I think 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then the engineers were like looking at me like, dude, stop. I'm like… this is great.
It's a big deal. It's a very, yeah. This is my moment.
And
leave me alone.
He sang it perfectly. Like, he knew exactly, like, what I kind of imagined a perfect version of this song could be.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, when you sing demo or like a song for somebody else, you think of the final version. And then I gotta admit, in some way, it could happen and it doesn't happen with, you know, singers.
Right.
From, you know, singers to singer, it's case by case.
It's different,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but with Chen, it was so impactful that I, to this date, I think it was the perfect version of Beautiful Goodbye. If not Chen, the song wouldn't be the same. That's how I really feel about the song.
Man. Wow. That's awesome. So I guess, like, since then, you've written, again, you've written for so many different people. You've been working on a bunch of different projects. But now you are, you know, you debuted, I guess, a while ago with a duet with Sam Kim, who's a great friend of ours. How did that project come about? Were you guys usually originally friends and close, or how did that happen?
I think I got, you know, Sam was introduced to me first in LA, 2019, like September,
yeah.
October, I think. And he came to LA in our studio, because our headquarters is in LA. For a song camp, and
right.
he wanted to work on album with our company, and then me going there to support him, you know, doing bringing out whatever he wants to do, the music. And that was our first time meeting up together, and we really just initially we clicked, you know. It's very hard to find somebody who we just talk musically and it just like fits right away. Like if I say like A and he says B, I'm like, oh,
right.
And I mean C. And he's like, yeah, that's what I thought too. And it's just like constant like on and off conversation,
yeah.
which didn't stop. It kept on going. And I really appreciated Sam for being genius as he is. yeah. So huge respect. And it's been… yeah, fun. And through that song camp, the song Like a Fool came out. So he was playing this random guitar line and I was just like, dude, stop. You have to go into the recording booth right now and then record that riff. And then the song came out in like an hour.
He's so talented. I mean, and so are you. So the two of you together, I mean, I think it sounds incredible. And it's… I mean, I'm not a great producer or instrumentalist in any way. So I envy the two of you so much in many ways.
I think you're a great producer of yourself. I think you know what you're doing. And
I don't know, man. I just kind of no. make it up. So I don't know. I'm just kind of making things up. And that's how
I think,
but
I think your intuition in like life from, you know, because I've been, you know, seeing your stuff like for like a few years now. And I personally felt that you know what you're doing. And then you're capable of, you know, so many things. I think producing in general, it means that not just like you don't have to be good in like using the Pro Tools or, you know, Logic Pro. It's just that you are being the captain of your ship. You're being the light of your life. And I think in that sense, you are, you know, one of like greatest producer that I, you know, always thought of.
Why, thank you. I'm so honored. I feel so encouraged by that. I really do. I really appreciate that. Because, I mean, to be very honest for me, when it comes to music, I feel like I just like… I've never really had much help. It's literally my brother and like one or two people that I really trust. And it's just us just being like, what should we do? So like even my labels and stuff, it's always… I just kind of figure it out on my own. So a lot of times I'm like, I hope this doesn't suck. And then we just try to put it out.
I mean, like huge respect for that too. You know, a lot of people don't even know if the like… they don't even know where to go. Like, mm-hmm. but then you have the guts to, you know, pursue it, whatever, you know, your craft was. And, you know, you made it and people really love you for being who you are. And, you know,
well,
I'm one of those
thank
people
you.
Too. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, question for you, you know, because you're on both sides, right? You produce for other artists and you are also producing for yourself. What is that like? How is that different from you, for you in the different roles that you're playing? What's easier? What's harder?
Those two are very different things. Just because to me, writing a song, producing songs are like writing diaries. Like your personal diaries. And then if you're writing for yourself, it's more like I'm writing for myself. I'm really speaking my heart out. But producing for the others, I don't know what the other producers, like the other writers think, but my personal opinion is that it's writing their diaries. Like I need to bring out or like furnish what they really think from their heart and catching where they want to go and then suggesting is my job as a producer if I'm working with them.
Right.
So what I do is I just have constant like conversations. And then while we do that, I catch some of the words or, you know, some of the intuitions or stories that they might not have thought about to write about. And then I suggest like, oh, how about you write this or like, how about this and that? So it's more like thinking in their perspective. Than mine. So I kind of erase myself when I work with the others.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just that. So it's that different. So to me, writing for myself is my diary. Writing my diary and writing for the others. It's really completely different thing. I have to be like in same tune with them. You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, every time.
Do you have a preference? I know they're both completely different. Do you have a preference in doing one or the other at all?
Those two are just so different. It's just that if you go to amusement park…
Yeah.
I know this is going to be a weird way of comparing things.
No, no, no. Like, it's all good. It's all good.
I hate roller coasters. but let's say that I like roller coasters. It's going to feel like it's that different. Like I'm on the… What is that? The Haejeongma in Korean.
Merry-go-round. Merry-go-round?
Oh, yeah. Merry-go-round. So for me, writing a song for myself is like writing on a merry-go-round because I'm so comfortable with it. You know, there are times that I'm like writing on it for like constant like 8 times. For writing that for the others, it's more like writing on a roller coaster. You just don't know what's gonna happen.
Okay.
I know that's the weird way of comparing things.
But I oddly understood exactly what you mean. So it was a great job. Look, you're a lyrical genius. Look at you. Well, speaking of being on the merry-go-round, you know, your latest song is with Haze. You released it in November of 2020. It's called Too Easy. Can you tell us a little bit about that song and the creation process? Yeah.
Too Easy, it's the song that I wrote two years ago. And then I sent… it's a song about two lovers. We're talking about the emotional temperature difference. You know, if you fall in love with somebody else… Let's say a guy and a girl. Us, what we think love is… could be different from what the other… that person thinks. Like what the girl thinks. So it's just like… that difference. So for example… I was talking to Hayes about… I think there are some people… the girls who think… love is so easy. They meet up with people like meet me up… so easily. And then they leave so easily. So I think… there are people who think… you know, who treats people in love easily. And then she told me, saying that, but have you ever thought about in their shoe? When they said goodbye to you, that could mean that they thought about so many, like so deeply. And they finally came to conclusion and maybe they might have told you that, you know, goodbye after a process of like serious thoughts. And I think you're disregarding the effect. So that makes you a bad boy. And I'm like, I was like, hold on. Let me think about that. I really didn't mean that. But then that's the time that I thought that, oh, so what guy think is love could be different from what girl think about love. So I thought that could be the interesting perspective. So I asked Hayes about, why don't you write your version, like lyrics for this song? What do you think about like love and breakup? So that's how the song came to be. And yeah, it's about the emotional temperature difference between guy and girl.
That's a super, super cool way to think about it. No, but I also can completely understand that. How did you and Hayes get to know each other?
I sent the demo version of Too Easy to Hayes 2-3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And then back then we didn't know each other at all. So we were not introduced. But then I remember after a few months, her company contacted us saying that they really liked the song. They really loved the song and they want to work with us. She really loved the song. So she said… And then after that we got together and then I remember she was personally telling me that when she first heard the song, she said she thought, oh, I really should be singing this. And I want the guy whoever this guy is who sang the demo to sing with me. And then thankfully that was me. So it would have been very awkward if it was me and then the others sang that song. But
I'm glad it worked out. Yeah. And I'm glad it's out in the world because it sounds great. And if you haven't done so, you guys should definitely check it out. It's Too Easy with Neve featuring Hayes. Right? Is it feature or is it X? I don't know. It's always kind of…
it's named like a featuring Hayes, but then it's really like collaboration if you…
Right, it's a full collaboration.
Like on and off. So yeah, I mean, I'm so thankful for Hayes too because she made the song perfect. She really did. When I first wrote the song, I wrote it for like solo. But then after I got introduced with Hayes, the song took a completely different turn. You know, which means like it gave me more perspective. So yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Having Hayes is, you know, an honorable moment for me. Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on. Like, you've also written with NCT, written for NCT. What was that project like? Was that one of those things where you just kind of had it written and they kind of picked it up, kind of like Chen, that process? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, similar process. I was given like piano track and then that's the song. It's called My Everything. Which was consisted in a very recent album called Resonance. And that song too, it came out in 2 hours. Not because I'm
Why
like…
Why are you so talented?
No. It's just that like… Sometimes it takes me like more than a day or two to come up with some like solid ideas. But I think all the loved songs or related songs of mine that I've written are the songs that came out so like quickly. You know, even Too Easy, Like a Fool too. You know, it's… I think… That's why I always think that grasping the moment of… inspiration is so important. That's why I always carry my phone and I'm just like voice memoing,
humming random things in there.
Yeah,
I do that too.
Yeah, isn't it like kind of embarrassing to go over like few of those?
Dude, I hate going back into it. Like I was doing it yesterday and I was like, I really should just stop singing because this sounds horrendous. But it's so embarrassing.
Dude, that's how I feel every day too. Like every hour.
Oh my gosh. No, you're killing it. I guess, you know, you've been writing for so many people. You are doing your own artist project. What's next for you? What's coming up for you in 2021? You know, we're in February now. We have 9 months left of 2021. And I'm hoping that it's going to be a good year. How are you feeling right now?
Well, it's an interesting question. Always, like, I think if things are going like in this way, a lot of people tell me that have the bigger goal, have now you are on the ride of something, you have to keep on riding it. So they say, 부드러울 때 노져라. It's just like,
right,
in a raw when the water comes in. And
yeah,
honestly, truthfully speaking, I think for me, just continue to be myself and have the peace in my heart and mm-hmm. just be the same way that I've always been for the next few years is my, I think, ultimate goal. Just because if I tell them, like, if the water comes in and then you're rowing, you've never experienced that water coming in. So you may drown if you tense your body too hard or too much. So
right.
I think, like, keeping it cool and keeping your head cool is what I should be doing this year too. It's just like, be calm. Be just…
Yeah.
Try to be as humble as you can possibly be. And
yeah.
What I'm thinking these days is I'm so thankful and grateful for what's been happening around me.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I think it's too much of me to think and to want more. And honestly, I think I have everything going on for me that I've always wanted. Which it doesn't mean like money or like fame or like the opportunities. It's just that I'm in a place where I can just happily write and express myself.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like you're living the dream. And it is… I think it's great because being able to appreciate what you're doing while you're doing it, no matter how hard or how great or how amazing or not it is, I think that requires a certain level of humility and being aware, self-aware, which I think you have a lot of. And so it's really great to hear that you are enjoying it while it's happening and to just kind of enjoy what you do for a living. Because it is very easy to get caught up in like, I just want to be famous or I just want to like hit certain benchmarks but not appreciate what you're going through as you do it. So it sounds like you absolutely are, and that's awesome. I guess to follow up on that, like, do you have like a dream? What is the goal? Where do you want to be?
Right now, I'm at where I want to be. But then, you know, life isn't that short. You know, I have a long
right.
way to go. So I think…
You're still young. So much to do.
Yeah. And I think that my goal is to stay the same. Like when I'm, let's say, 60, 70. With like white hair and, you know… Still, I want myself to be talking in the same way when I'm like older. I don't have to be like older. I'm hoping that I be wiser.
Yeah.
But at least I don't want to be where I talk in a way that I know everything. And I don't want people to feel that like, oh, he's been doing this and that. He thinks he knows a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. Honestly, I don't know anything. So if the opportunity comes and I just want to stay the same and just continue to do music. Because I think from what I've been feeling and then seeing is that rather than like the hardest thing in anything, like it could be music or it could be, you know, being a lawyer or you know, anything or being a doctor, it's just keeping like that endurance to keep on going it's almost impossible to do. That's what I thought. Because let's say that doing this job, there could be ups and downs, right? Like there's a lot of like ups and down moments, especially the jobs that we have. And I think this job is the hardest job to have your head, like keep your head cool. Because so many things are going on. And then, you know, I want to have my peace in my heart.
Right.
Always. So…
Yeah.
I know that's not like… Maybe like the critical, like a crucial, like a big answer. But then really that's how
no,
I feel.
It's, the way it sounds, it's more of a mindset for you. It's a perspective. Mm. It's the way you approach life, which I think is just as important. More than I want to do this or this is my goal or this is my whatever. Because if your answer tells me enough about you to say, oh, it doesn't matter where I am as long as I'm happy and I feel good as an individual, which is the most important thing in life. So, you know, that I think that's great. I guess you mentioned this, and so I just want to touch on it briefly, but I agree completely that the job that we have as musicians, as entertainers, as celebrities is definitely not an easy job. It is, there are a lot of things that go into it. Not only do you have to put out good music and perform, but there's a lot of pressure and just a lot of things that go into it. But I guess like a question that I have for you, because you've gone through both the celebrity side and you've been through the come up as a singer-songwriter producer. When you left college, you said, I'm not going to do college. I'm going to go to Korea and do this music thing, right? Mm-hmm. Was there a point in that period that was just really difficult for you, or a point where you're like, I don't know if this is right for me? Or was it always, I'm going to get it done?
You mean like the college or the entertaining?
So like once you left college, you moved to Korea to do Superstar K. Uh-huh. And then you had, you know, a couple years of learning to write between, I guess, here in LA. Uh-huh. And before you started to place your first song, before you put out your solo project, were there moments where you ever wanted to give up or change your career or like, you're like, why am I doing this? Yeah.
Yeah, I separate the entertaining and being on the artist side with music. I have to be honest. Yes, I thought a few times of quitting the job, honestly speaking, because I wasn't really sure, because there have been moments that I was tired and very unhappy about what's going on. It's not the other's fault. It's all happening in my head. And I always thought being an artist is more like having a responsibility to inspire the others. And I wanted to inspire people in a positive way. Now, if I could continue music, music will always be with me. But then I could have pursued different things, like maybe majoring in cinema music, or like animation music, or like because I'm so interested in that too. So in a way, music will never stop with me. But then having a job or being an artist, being the inspiration to the others, was very. It gave me a lot of questions, just because how can I save the others when I want to, when I cannot really save myself? That's what I always thought. And yeah, I had moments where I'm just like, I don't think I can go on like this. And truthfully speaking, like these days too, you know, I have my, you know, doubts too. But I changed my course of thinking. That, well, maybe I don't have to always put on a smile or like a happy, like consolating attitude to people to really save the others. Maybe I can show them all that process too, you know, like me struggling, me having like breakdown, me having, you know, all that jumbled up thoughts. And maybe I should not be afraid of showing that side to the people.
Right.
So if that's the case, and if I'm accepted by doing that, maybe I'll have a slight of hope of continuing, to be honest. Yeah. And luckily and thankfully, there have been many people who've been giving me support in that. So that's why I'm keep on doing it. So yeah, it's a long answer, but to this date, I have it. I have like, am I like, is this right?
Yeah, but, no. I hear you. I feel you on that.
And I'm writing a song that actually talks about that. Like, I don't know. I really don't know if it's like if I want to be myself or if I want to be in somebody else's shoe. I don't know about myself, but maybe someday I'll understand who I am truthfully. And it doesn't have to come out from myself. It could come from the others. You know, people can tell me also who I am. It's just like on and off thing. So,
right.
A jumble of thoughts. I'll be babbling about it and in a song.
Yeah, the beauty of
it. Well, I look forward to it because that's something that I honestly agree with. You know, I've spoken about this at length with other people, but I was like, why do I, as a celebrity, why do we have to be happy all the time? I can have a bad day. I could feel down. I could be really happy, but I could also be really sad. And I shouldn't have to hide those parts of that may not be pleasant. And I think this is a job at the end of the day, right? We love what we do. We're very blessed. But just like anybody else has with any other job, you can have doubts. You may want to change jobs. You may say, this isn't for me. And so I completely agree with you on that. And I feel like being able to articulate that well and share that in a story or in a song, I think is very impactful. So I look forward to that song. When it comes to, you know, this show, you know, it is a K-pop show. So I got to ask you the question, what K-pop songs or artists are you listening to right now? Who are you kind of obsessed with?
Oh my God. I haven't been listening music these days. It's just that, honestly, I was a little tired of, you know, continue to write. It's been 5 years since I really felt this way. So I've been kind of stopping to listen to music, but I went back to Bruno Major.
Oh, okay.
To Let a Good Thing Die. And
I've been listening to that recently too. Yeah. What a mood. I know. So, every time I play, I'm like, oh gosh, the feelings are coming. Okay. Bruno Major.
Yeah, it's a good song to listen in the car and when you're walking. Who else? Sabrina Claudio, Wanna Know. And actually, I was on the way to the studio today and I was listening to Positions by Ariana Grande. I know that's a very genre-wise, it's a different… I listen to everything. Like I listen from like death metal to classical music. So I listen to like wide genre of music. But
spoken like a true musician. Spoken like a true musician. Well, we're gonna start wrapping up the show, but before we do that, we're gonna play a quick corner. This is called A Song for You. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna name five artists, right? That you have not yet worked with. And you get to tell us, the listeners, what kind of song, you know, and as detailed as you can be, you would want to write with them or write for them. Okay. So the first one, she just released an album, but it's IU. Oh. Have you worked with IU before?
No. I you know, I love IU's music. I just never met up with her in person or… had the opportunity to work with. So I think she's a perfect example for this corner, right? Let me think. I think for her, she has her strong side. But I think she never touched… She's jazz influenced as well. So she… Mm-hmm. What she puts in… She has a little bit of jazz in it. So maybe I could work with her… Bringing the genre of modern jazz, 1940s, where like musicians like Art Tatum or like the other great jazz musicians would too. So bringing that aspect in the song, and then collaborate with what's the trend these days in K-pop market. I think that could be a very interesting perspective that IU could bring to the others.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Something very jazzy.
Jazzy. All right.
Well, honestly, IU can literally pull off anything she wants. She can do anything. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure it would be a great song. All right. Next up, I'm actually very curious about this one. Blackpink. If you had the opportunity to write for Blackpink, what would you write for Blackpink?
Blackpink. Wow. I mean, they can do anything, you know. If it's ballet, they'll be able to pull it off.
Right.
They've been pulling out like dance stuff, which is, you know, their strong point. I think for them, if I were to work with them, I would bring out like complete, like pop music.
Pop.
More like a Shawn Mendes pop style. Okay.
with them.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
Mm. All right. Okay, so this last one, and this is a personal one because I need some help. If we were to write together, or if you could, if I could be like, Nave, Ryan, please, I need some songs. Help me. Please. What would you write for
me? But I really personally want to work with you. And
I'm down.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
So when are you coming to Korea, first of all? When are you coming
sometime
back?
Sometime soon. I don't have an exact date yet. But, you know, we could do it in Korea or we could do it over Skype. But I'm always available. But
I'll
down.
DM
I'm
you.
I'm totally down. Please too.
Yeah,
please
yeah.
I'm totally down.
With you, not the genre-wise, because I know you are… I know that you are the captain of your own ship. So I really want us to talk a lot first. And then not the genre-wise, I want us to be talking about like one topic. Where you are right now. So I want you to write your own diary. And maybe like not… probably giving you the ideas like of like what I think. I want you to maybe bring out some like some of your honest feelings that you may not have told your fans or the audience, and we could go from there. Maybe we can write a song like in pop genre as well. Could be ballad too, but yeah, I think topic is way more important for you at this point. So yeah.
So you want to be my free therapist, right?
Yeah, I mean… free therapist. Yes, absolutely. I'll fly there.
All right. I'm down. No, that's… I mean… Yes, I agree. I think that's most of how my sessions start out. We sit down and we talk about whatever's on our hearts. And we pick a topic from there and we just start going. So absolutely. And and honestly, yeah, I'm totally down. Let's figure it out. We'll Skype it. We'll FaceTime it. We'll do it in person. Whatever it takes.
Yes, sir.
But I'd love to write with you. As we wrap up the show, is there anything that you want to tell our listeners? Anything you want to promote? Where can they find you? Hit us with whatever you want to say.
If you type in This Is Niamh on Twitter and Instagram, you'll be able to find me immediately. So type in This Is Niamh. And if you type in Niamh, on YouTube, you'll be able to find my channel. I think for me, that's it. But I want my fans to know that I'm in my personal stage where I am brainstorming a lot on my next album. And I want that to be something very, very personal. And so I'm in a lot of process of brainstorming that. So I want all of you to pray for me and always thank everybody who are supporting me. I know that I am not enough. Like I know I'm not perfect, and it's the reason that I'm able to talk to you or the others about my heart and my feelings. It's because it's been all of my fans, all my parents and supporters around me who could really relate to me and then who have heart to listen to what I thought and felt. And I'm just thankful and grateful, and I really do mean that. And I wish to continue writing and producing for the others. So yeah, if you have time and heart, maybe check my album out later on. Maybe like later this year. Yeah, this is going to be very personal. So I think that's the big news that I can give all the supporters that I have. Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Well, Niamh, you are more than enough, and your music is more than enough, and we can't wait to hear the new stuff that is coming out from you later this year. We'll definitely look forward to it. Everybody, please be sure to check out his music, Niamh. This is the last question, because I should have asked this at the beginning, and I didn't because I'm an idiot. Niamh, explain the name, Niamh. What does this mean?
There's an Urban Dictionary saying that Neve means being cool without having to say cool. And you are originally, you're supposed to pronounce it as naive. And I thought when I was first introduced that word, I was like, naive sounds a little too close to naive. And I was like, why don't we just go with like either Neve or Nive? And then it was like, Nive sounded like a French brand for like perfume. So I was like, simply let's go with Neve. But then I could relate to the meaning of that word because I always thought that I'm not like hip enough or like cool enough. And I'm in a way pretty awkward too when I'm talking to the others. It's just I'm not cool. Like, you know, like if you see people in a classroom or whatever, there's always that guy who's like in the corner of the room. Just like,
yeah, that's like, me.
That's me too. Hey. And I'm just like reading the book with the glasses and I'm just like,
yeah.
I thought to myself that I'm not cool like the others. But then that word told me that you can be cool by being yourself. And I thought that I resonated with it. So yeah, that's what it means.
All right.
To live like
me. Thanks. Thank you very much, sir. All right. Well, Neve, thank you so much again for joining us on the show. It was really, really a pleasure getting to know you today. And I hope we can connect again soon. Everybody, please be sure to check out his stuff. It's everywhere. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can join us at patreon.com/divestudios where you get ad-free listening, a ton of benefits, live streams with us, discounts on a lot of different things. And you can see the videos of this at youtube.com/divestudios or /divepods. Now, we have one last thing that we're going to do. Neve, if you don't mind, if you could please give us an outro jingle. Can you improvise one for us? Anything.
Outro jingle?
Yeah, it's tradition for our guests.
Wait, do I sing it? Like,
yes, sir.
Jingle, like outro jingle. Like, what's the example? I have never done
like a logo song. So the opening song for this is, this is the K-pop Tabak Show with Eric Nam. Horribly done, but you can do so much better.
Okay. This is the Eric Nam Show, and I'm Neve in the show. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you all enjoyed it like I did. This is the show with Eric Nam, and I'm so honored to be in the show. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope to see you all again. Yay!
Woo!
Okay. I hope that makes sense.
That was great. Thank you, Neve. We'll see you next time on the K-Pop Tabak Show.
Thank
Thanks,
you for
everybody.
Having
we'll
me.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.